spiritual, not religious program
known as Narcotics Anonymous.
I'd like to introduce the first speaker, Lawrence R., from the Uptown Men's Meeting Group of Narcotics Anonymous in the New York area of NA.
Put it where?
If it starts raining, mm-hmm. Just let the mic drop down.
Okay.
Okay.
My name is Lawrence Maddox. Thank God for allowing me to be here. Thank God for allowing us to be here. And God is good. I also want to thank God for waking me up this morning about the use of drugs. What the sense of compulsion to get the next one. The topic is the triangle of self-assessing. Like, before I get to the top, I'm cheating about myself. Like, I used for a long time against my own will. For a long time, like, I wanted to stop using. I just didn't know how to stop using. And I tried many ways to stop using. Like, I tried, like, going to jail, going to detoxes, you know, staying in the house, becoming Muslim, being prayed over, beaten. I just couldn't stop, right? And not until God, my understanding, right, allowed His grace and mercy to be upon me, right, that I stopped, right? And in stopping, I had to do some work to stop. Like, I had to go to other people who know how to stop at a dead time, right? So, like, I make meetings on a regular basis, right? So if you're new, and you're here, you're high, welcome, right? Like, if you don't know how to stay stopped, welcome, right? It's only a deadly free from a deadly disease of addiction. We do this by making meetings, talking about our feelings, right, and, like, not using, right? And sometimes this process is real easy for me, and other times it's not, right? Because, like, my disease allowed me, right, like, to put the drug aside, and, like, my attitude come off. You know, like, I'm a tough guy, you know, like, I'm 45 years old, right, and sometimes I act like 14. Right. Well, like, the hope is, right, I come in here and share that, right, and get better with it. Like, I'm so grateful, man, that, like, people are here younger than me. Right. Because, like, we ain't got to go to the hard addiction I went through. Like, we ain't got to be a bum. We ain't got to be homeless. We ain't got to go to jail. You know, you ain't got to sell yourself short. Right. Because this process works. I thank the predecessors, man. Like, I thank the other fellowship, and I'm going to say AA, right? Because if it wasn't for that fellowship, right, this fellowship wouldn't be here. So I have to thank them, right? And this triangle of self-obsession, right, is like a threefold thing, right? In the first part of the triangle, right, we talk about, like, the resentment piece, right? And I've always been resentful. Like, I've been resentful of, like, I have no father figure in my life, you know, not knowing how to, like when my friends say, I'm going with my dad fishing, or my dad's going to tell me to play baseball or basketball, I couldn't ID with that, because I had no father who showed me how to do these things. Like, I learned from, like, TV, you know, watching next guy's parents. I was resentful of my mother for not having a man in my life, right, and the man she had in her life wasn't a father figure. You know, they abused me, they abused her, right? And I was resentful of that because I can protect her. You know, but for a long time, like, I promised myself, like, if I ever had a kid, right, I would be there for my kid, hook or crook. You know, I would be there to show them the love and nurturing that one needs to develop and become a young man, right? And I learned how to become a young man and to be kind and loving, right? Like, you're watching people, like, who love me. I'm talking about before the fellowship. Like, I'm talking about, like, when I was suffering in addiction. I was actively in addiction. Like, I had these people, like, who loved me in spite of. you know, like lines like, please go to the corner. Like lines like, I love you. If you're hungry, because you can come out, you can eat, you can stay, you can live, right? And they let me hear the day, even though I'm not using. I took my in a gruesome addiction, right? People didn't turn their back on me. There's people like that. I remember in a corner, right, on a Sunday morning, right? When it's called to the next one. Right? On a Sunday morning, I'm talking about in the midst of winter, right? A lady come by like, yo, why are you in the corner? I had to tell her, I'm trying to get the next one, right? And she didn't turn her back on me that day. You know, she loved me in spite of myself, man. Why didn't I know how to love myself, right? So, and I still carry resentment inside of Muslim Archives Anonymous because, like, I'm still fearful, like I don't know how to be a man sometimes. My perception of being a man is all twisted, right? Today it's like, my shit's sticking out. Who the hell are you? You know, and that don't work inside these rooms. It don't work. Being a tough guy do not work. Like, if I, like, believe me, it don't work. Right? Like, all math must die, man, for me to get better with myself. Right? So what I do, right, when a tough guy is coming to me, I hug a guy bigger than me. Right? Let him know that's all right. Let me know it's all right. That I have no longer have to be ashamed of where I come from. Right? And the next pit is like anger. Like, I'm f***ed up. 90% of the time, I'm always angry. Right? Because my disease is always haunting me. I'm talking about the past. It's always haunting me. I'm never going to amount to nothing. You know. Like, my mother told me, like, you know, and I always bring this up when I share, right? My mother told me, right, like, I was a good fuck wasted, right? And for me today, right, the best thing of a good fuck is orgasm, right? So she told me that I was a good fuck wasted, right? I had to put a therapy behind that one, right? I had to be like, yo, why did she tell me that shit, right? And I, like, I hated her for a long time for that, but through therapy, right, I got some acceptance for that. Because I understand that she was an addict herself, you know? I understand from her behavior, but she was angry, she was resentful, and she was fearful, right? But she had to raise us by herself, and she did the best she could with what she had, right? So, like, God is good, man, right? Because, like, today, right, I'm not mad at her no more. I'm not angry at her no more. For, like, drinking, trying to set the house on fire, trying to kill us, kill herself, right? Well, she wouldn't afford the chance that I've got today. Like, to be clean. Like, I ain't never been out of New York City. I ain't never traveled out of the fire broke in New York. Right? And today I'm in Pennsylvania. Right? I'm talking about being locked in the project. Locked inside the comfort of my own mind. Like, not knowing that there's a better world out there. Right? Not knowing that I can get help. Worldwide, this fellowship is nothing not about New York. And it had me thinking that, like, the disease of addiction is like right in Manhattan. And they come to Pennsylvania. And they go to Jersey. Right? And my disease is a liar, man. Like, I can go anywhere and get help. Right? And I need help. That's why I always help somebody. I always help the newcomer. Like, I love the fellowship for allowing me to be cleaned up for the day. Right? And how I stay clean, right? If I make me, no matter what I go through, man, like the tough guys come on, like sometimes I have my head on backwards, I got the bop on, and I'm in ready mode, right? And I make a meeting. And I talk about the exact nature. The exact nature of that day I want to use. Huh? Maybe not the drug, but the corner. Go to Philo, grab the guy who's using, right? Because that's all I know. For so long, man, I use over 30 years of my life. And just for the day, I got like 4 years, 4 months, and some days clean, right? And I got to keep a check on my disease, man. But every now and then, you knock on the door. What's up? I say, hello. What's up? How you doing today? Got a new car. Got a job. Got a little jewelry. Want some drugs? Right? I got to tell myself, right? I got to call my sponsor, right? I got to call them becoming an addict. Let them know, like, check this out. Today, I can sell drugs. Huh? My disease is a liar, man. Huh? My disease want me to suffer, man. Want me to die. Want me to suffer, man. Huh? Because I know if I sell drugs, I'm going to use drugs. Huh? It tell me a monkey can't sell bananas. Huh? And I believe that. You know, I believe, like, wholeheartedly, right, like, I can't use in no shape or fashion, man. Right? And I'm talking about, like, drugs. Right? Because it's always about using. It's always about using. Do not get it twisted. You got cats telling you it's not about using. It's always about using. Because I got people in my area, 15, 10 years, 9 years clean, going out like it's all right. Huh? And newcomers talking about what they doing. They doing the wrong thing. Huh? Money, property, prestige, or diverted from my primary purpose. Before I came in here, I ain't have a car, I ain't had no jewelry, right? I ain't had no hope. Today I got some hope, right? And take the jewelry, take the job, and the car, and I still have to recover or suffer and die, right? So, like, fear, right? Look, this disease is fear-based. Like I'm 45, right? And sometimes, like I ain't got no GED, right? I'm scared for going to school, but like I ain't no stupid guy. Like I don't know addicts that are stupid. I ain't even one yet, huh? Not a one, man. Cause I can get the next one, huh? I could devise some shit in my head. And have my cup believing it, I'm gonna keep believing. Huh? But I'm fearful of going back to school. I'm fearful of going to my GED. But you people give me hope. I tell my people like you, right, who come in here with nothing, right? GED. GED the master. Huh? Tell me God ain't working. Huh? And that's what I need to say. When I get in my head, man, that I can't do this no more, right? I make a meeting or I call somebody, right? And nobody needs to lie. Like, man, thank God for my cost anonymous. Bring it back to life. They tell me meeting makers make it, right? Like, the more meetings, the more choices. Less meetings, less choices, right? I'm one of the ass who want choices, man. Like, I work with Home Depot, right? Good job. It's all right. But now, but I don't want to be there 10 years from now. I don't want to be at Home Depot 10 years from now, lifting that heavy shit. I just don't want to do that. So how I get better with this? I tell y'all what I'm doing. And you'll tell me what you're doing. And you'll give me some hope and some growth. And I grow. But like I plan on going to school to my GED. Right. Because I know I can do it. I know I can do it. But I see it work. I'm talking about a bump, man. I'm talking about a bump. Look. I don't know where I come from, right? But like I know my story. Huh? Like we ain't got this. We got woods in New York, right? The city building down, the woods come up. Yeah. Right? I'm talking about sleeping in the woods, man. In the woods, right? In a abandoned car, right? And the thing I ain't doing that. That's hope. Huh? I'm talking about like going to get a job, right? With no skills, right? And God, let me get one. Only because you went and did it. Only because I saw your struggles, right? And I ain't fit for the day, right? And the flip side, right, to the triangle record is threefold, right? It's accepted, right? I got to accept my limitations. I got to accept it, like, check this out, some things I ain't able to do. I gotta accept it, like, I might can't get a bachelor's degree, huh? But I can shoot for it, right? And if I don't get it, I ain't got to go use behind it, huh? That's the flip side to this, right? Like, because everybody can't get everything, you know. And acceptance, man, is key in everything, man. Like, I accept, right? That, like, sometimes I feel like a nut, some I don't, right? For real, man, right? For real, man, right? But, like I love the newcomer, man. Like, I love to see, yo, man, young people in the process, man. But you ain't got to suffer, man, for, oh, man. Like, I don't know, like, look. I don't know, man. Like, I ain't never had a better time in my life. Huh? I'm talking about being serene, right? Peaceful, man. Like, I don't know none of y'all, right? But I know that we owe our ID, right? Through the pain of change, right? Through the pain of growing up, right? And I'm still growing this process, man, called recovery, right? Every day I'm growing, man. Acceptance is the key, man. And I accept that I'm an addict, man. For the deadly disease, right? Deadly, that never sleeps. Huh. I'm talking about in my sleep, right? I think about using. Huh. And if you think about using, it's all right. If you woke this morning and you had a drug dream, it's all right. Huh. It was a free one. That's right. Right? Okay, the farm so called, you might tell them that you were talking about a drug dream. Huh. Love, man. I'm this cat. Check it. I always share about love. I ain't never had no love. I'm talking about love of a mother, right? Love of a father, right? I'm a cat that, like, take it, right? You gotta love me. Like, you gotta love me. You know, like, I always beg to be loved, man. Right? Because I ain't never had no love, right? And the fellowship, right, like, take it, right? I hug cats I don't like. Because my inability, because of my self-love, because of my love for the team, I hug people I don't like, man. To push past the feeling. Because the love is better than the faith on love. If y'all stop loving me, I go smoke crack. Huh? No, why would I be here? Why would I be here? I was home, I ain't get no love. I ain't stay there. So why would I be here? I'm here because of the love, man. This fellowship is worldwide. And I can go anywhere and get some love, man. For free. Huh? You know what a hug does for somebody, man? You know what a hug does for somebody? A guy who thinks he's tough? Break him down. Break him down. Huh? I'm talking about the biggest, ugliest guy. Cool face on. And you go hug him, he tells you, thank you, I needed that. Huh? So if you see me anywhere in the world, right? Because God's in charge, right? So you never know where you see me at. And my face is twisted. Hug me, man. Break it down. Like, I need you. Let me know that I'm needed, man. Like, I need to be loved at all costs, man. I ain't never had no love. And I thank God for allowing this fellowship to show me how to love somebody else. Huh? Love is good, man. Yo. Like, in learning how to love, right? I can love my family today, right? I can love my sister. I can love my, like, the people who sit out there using. Huh? Because, like, I don't know about y'all, but, like, where I live at, right? The meat is here. Yeah. Crack man is here. Right? So when I see somebody who smoking crack and they know my story, I feel like I love you. They're like, love me? Yeah, I love you. Of course, you showing me that they get, and they get no better out there.
Huh?
And I give them a hug. I don't like, oh, there she go, I got to keep on going.
Yeah.
I designed this music. I ain't never got used to getting a day. Right? If I see an addict caught in the grip of addiction, for that moment, I give him a hug. And the more you smell, the more I want to hug you. Huh? I remember smelling, man. I remember being tore up, man. I remember smelling my feet, right, through my pants. Huh? You ever had socks that stick to your feet and you pull them off? Look. Huh? Look, man. Look. I thank all people, man, like who love me, man, and those who don't love me, man. Like in this fellowship, right? This month's fellowship, right? It talks about the big tent, right? This is a fellowship, right? Thank all, like anybody come in here and grow. Like I don't care if you're white, you're gay, you heterosexual, homosexual, homosexual, I don't care what you are. Help me stay clean. Because when I'm in the business of pain, I don't care what look as if it's Joe when he's black, let me call him. I don't think it's Melvin, he's gay, let me call him. Or she like girl, let me call. I look like Paul, help me. Huh? The exact nature, I don't know how to do this. Like, I don't know how to get my GED. I don't know how to get a job. I'm fearful. I'm gonna hurt somebody. That's how I get better. I know one thing, right? I ain't a tough guy. I ain't. I've been to places where I had to get the skin or the perception, the persona of being a tough guy.
Right.
So I can live. Like this brother, right, who's in my cabin, right? He came in the cabin, he talking with, like, he came in with the bed, right? And he got this morning, he's up on his knees, man. I was impressed. And when he left my room, I just my knees. I was impressed, man. I told my girl, yo, check it. Wait a minute, let me lock the door for a minute. And I touched my fucking knees for the first time, man.
Right?
Right? For real, I was impressed, man. I'm talking about big shit, like, yo, like, oh, shit. Right? And I followed suit, man. Right? Why didn't you know how to do that shit, man? Yo, man. If you knew you know what to do, man, like, believe what you see, man. This shit works, man. Right? And I got faith in the process. I know it works, man. Because I relapsed part of my story, right? And I relapsed, right? Hammer, easy does it. Keep coming back. I have a big check in my bag, literature, right? And I didn't get high. I suffered for 6 days. Right? And I never want to do that again.
Right.
I never want to use again. Right? And it's saying a big take, man, that, like, check this out. Check it out, I'm like, just real quick, right? Because, like, literature ain't never wrong. Right? So whoever made this tape, right, say, like, he must have a book. Book ain't wrong. Wait a minute. You can't find something. I need glasses. My glasses at the house, right? Like, I'm in denial about wearing glasses, right? Check it. All right. Check it, man. Right? It says, like we cannot change the nature of the addict, right, or addiction. We can help change the old lie that once an addict, always an addict, by striving to make recovery more accessible, more available. God help us remember the difference, right? Like, I don't want to die addict, an active addict. And I ain't like you today, man. Huh? Who are you? Like I don't know you, right? I feel like I know you, man. Like, I love you. I feel like we're checkers, right? Like, I love you, man. Like, and like, I got that love that's like undying. Right? Like, you call me, I'm there for you. Like, my food is your food, my house is your house. That's where I come from, right? For so long, I had a twisted thought of love, right? And by coming and sharing and being cared for, being nurtured in this process called recovery, right, my perception of love has changed. The distortion I had in my head has changed, man, right? So you might see me bop, because that's how I've been walking for 20, 40 years, fly about, right? And because I'm tough, man, right? And I'm in the process of changing, man, right? And I need you to show me or to help me how to change, right? Guide me in my recovery. Guide me. Like, please help me. This disease does not discriminate, right? Does not discriminate. Like, look, man. God is good. By himself, God has allowed us to leave our home, right? To get together, right? To heal each other. It's a healing process, man. This is like a healing process, man. I ain't played ball in 10 years. I took the ball last yesterday, right? Playing ball again, right? Like, thank you, man. Thank each and every one of y'all, man. Right? So, I got hope talking to you, little one. So I hope, right, that God, the God of understanding, right, to allow me, right, to put my ego in my back pocket. Right? To share honestly from the heart. Right? That no addict need die from the heart of addiction. And with that, my name is Lawrence from the Addict. Take care. Right. Right. Right.
I'd like to thank Lawrence for sharing his experience, strength, and hope with the group. Now I'd like to introduce the second speaker. His name is Wade from the Choice in Cannonsburg group of Narcotics Anonymous in the South Jose.
I'm Wade, I'm an addict. I tend to probably talk soft, so if I drift into talking softer, let me know. It's kind of cool to be asked to speak, you know, I don't know, 10 minutes before you do it. Because you don't get a chance to obsess about it, except for the last 40 minutes. But no, it was actually, it was good. I'm glad that you went first, Lawrence, because it helped me not obsess about it, actually. You know, when I think about the triangle of self-obsession, I think I only really think of a few things, which is anger, fear, resentment, and past, present, future. So if I look at those six words and how they applied to me when I was using, you know, I resented everybody that used the last one before I could. I was angry because I didn't have any left, and I was afraid I wasn't going to get any more. And, you know, that makes for a fun life. you know, what? I mean, I just remember those days of and how this disease of addiction can twist our minds so dramatically. And I mean, I remember being thoroughly convinced that whenever I came to in the morning, that, you know, for some reason I had to check my body over to make sure everything was okay, and that was normal. You know what I mean? Like, there was no blood, there was no broken stuff. you know, then I lean out the bed and like, is there a car? And I was just checking the weather though, looking outside. I wasn't sure how I got home or where my car was, but it wasn't to see if it was there. It was just to check out the weather because, you know, it was another glorious day in my world. You know, that fear about just what price am I going to have to pay today for the stuff I did yesterday? You know, because I certainly can't speak for everybody, but I don't remember a lot of the last nights of my life. You know, if I've been given any gifts in recovery, remembering where I was last night and what I did is probably one of the most important gifts that I have. So I've got this, you know, coming into recovery, I have this fairly warped sense of past, present, and future. You know, normal people I don't think are going to be worried about what they did last night, how they're going to get loaded, and why they don't have something to get loaded with right now. You know, I jumped to, you know, a few days clean and, you know, thinking I've got some handle on this anger, fear, and resentment, past, present, future, in recovery. You know, I'm able to talk to people when I'm angry, which helps me not build up resentments, and I'm able to talk to people when I feel some sort of fear or anxiety about something, so that doesn't even lead to anger. You know, I'm able to stay pretty focused on today and have the right balance with, you know, doing some planning for the future, but not being obsessed about it. Not dwelling in the past, and then I got married, and that ruined all of that. Because this whole triangle of self-obsession is under reevaluation for me. Not that marriage isn't a beautiful gift of recovery, but you know, I never lived with, I've had a family, I've never had a roommate first, let alone somebody I'm romantically involved with or somebody who's in the program. So now I have, you know, all three of those. it's an amazing journey still. You know, just when I thought I hit the flat spot on the roller coaster, you know, we go back into the hilly parts. it's amazing how self-centered I can be and how fearful I can be. And how, you know, even with those things, I can still take the experience that I have and the people in recovery and deal with that. And I can take the tools that I've gathered and gained over the years and really try to work on the anger and resentment part. Because, you know, right now the fear is still there, so I'm like dealing with the anger resentment part today, you know, and a lot of the fear for me right now today is something that, you know, when I was using, this was absolutely not even within the realm of consideration, is this whole idea of maybe having kids. You know, a pretty intense thing. You know, and it doesn't help when, you know, you've got parents and who want to be grandparents, and grandparents who want to be great-grandparents, and a brother who has a kid who wants a nephew to play with his son, and friends who are having kids who want to have me to have kids so that our kids can play with their kids, and wow. You know, some days using might be easier. No, that's not true. My easiest day using was certainly far, far worse than my worst day of staying clean. You know, because if nothing else, when I woke up that morning, I didn't have to remember what I was, I didn't forget what I was doing the night before. I knew where my car was. I knew I didn't punch anybody in the face. I knew nobody was looking for me. All that craziness. I've got this, this wife who I love, and really thank God that she recovers in AA, which is great, because we're able to speak of the common principles that we share, you know, the stuff that we talk about in the steps. I mean, honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, trust, you know, sharing very openly, you know, I mean, just all the really good stuff, and I don't have to worry about her overhearing stuff at meetings. you know, no, just kidding. We attend each other's home groups on occasion and stuff. It's really cool, actually. And I think for me, though, that is, as I'm evolving under marriage, and how I'm realizing other levels of the onion that I need to peel for myself. I mean, this is just part of that process. I mean, being married and being in a relationship that's committed in that way helps me and makes me strive to see what the next layer will reveal, because I want to be a better person for my wife, you know, who I see all the time and I love dearly. It's not just that I want, you know, so it's a very intimate thing. You know, before that, it was a lot of the motivation for me trying to peeling the layers of the onion was about, how do I be a better person in recovery? How do I be better at being there for somebody who feels like using, or who's, you know, one of their parents died or their brother died or whatever the thing is that day. for a particular person. And it's brought a new level of vigor in my my program. And it's really centered around the triangle of self-obsession. I was actually going to attend the meeting, whether I was speaking or not. You know, in the back of my head, my ego said, well, then buy the tape and you can listen to yourself. But this onion has many layers, and it's recovery continues to be an amazing journey. You know, I realized new things about myself that, you know, I didn't think were possible, I guess. You know, there's, you know, I've gone to quite a few meetings, you know, talked to people on the phone quite a bit. You know, I mean, I don't even know how to add up all that stuff that I've done. You know, how many times I've read an IP, or how many service meetings I've been to, and how many times have I read How It Works, or how many times have I read Who Is an Addict, or whatever at a meeting. I mean, it's been a lot, and it's still not enough, because there's always another layer. And as I look at the fear that I have kind of looking forward in life, and in the relationship I have with my wife, the things that I find in the steps keep me from taking the bridge, you know? You know, I mean, it keeps me from overreacting to something that isn't that big of a deal. I don't have to have kids today. I need to, like, maybe think about it. I need to talk about it with my wife. I need to, yeah, talk about the fears. I may need to do some things like that today, but it doesn't have to happen today. And really, the freedom that I find in not being obsessed with anger, fear, and resentment allows me to see, like, a beautiful sunny day when there is one, and when there's not one. It helps me keep my attitude pointed toward positive things and positive people, and that, you know, not the using thing where, you know, life is a pile of shit and, you know, try not to walk in it and throw it on somebody else if you get a chance and, you know, all that crazy stuff. Because the beauty of life can only be, I can only observe the beauty of life through a clear mind and a clear conscience. And I get that from practicing these principles in all my affairs to the best of my ability every day. Not every day except when I'm at work, not every day except when I'm at a family reunion, not every day except when I'm at the gym hanging with the boys, all the time. Because when I stop, that's when I start with the anger, and I start with the fear, and I hold on to the anger, and I get resentment, and I hate going to work, and I hate everybody I work with, and I'm not going to my damn home group because I don't like them anyway. Except for Scott, because he's in my home group. I need to practice this stuff 24/7. You know, like I had the obsession to use 24/7. I have to have the obsession for recovery 24/7. And if I don't have that obsession to recover, and what I really mean by the obsession to recover is the obsession to be a better person. Today, that's what recovery is to me, is how do I be a better person? You know, it's really not about using that much anymore. I don't really think about using very often. I certainly don't really obsess about it. I mean, that's like very rare. But I don't even really think about using anymore. So it's really not about picking up as much as it is for me about just being a better person. Because if I'm striving, and I think because I strive to be a better person, I don't feel like I need to use. I don't feel desire to use. And as I walk through recovery, or crawl sometimes, I always need to be looking at how I can be a better person and be a better friend, be a better home group member, be a better service junkie, be whatever, better employee, a better brother, father, maybe, husband, because those are things that help me peel layers off the onion too and really understand who I am. Because I think that I am probably, that you'll like me more if you know who I am than if I try to make myself be who you think, who I think you want me to be. Because, you know, like Lawrence was saying, there's certainly no stupid addicts. Using or not, we're not stupid. You know, how the hell do you, you know, I don't know other people that, I certainly didn't use $1,000 worth of drugs a day, but I was in rehab with a guy that used $1,000 worth of drugs a day. How do you come up with $1,000 a day if you're stupid? You know, I mean, you can't rob that many people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what do you got to do? I mean, you can't be stupid. If I'm trying to pretend to be something that I'm not, you're going to see it because you're not stupid. And I rely on you guys to tell me that I'm doing that because sometimes I think that's easier, fear of being myself. You know, that I don't know how long and how many years that when I got clean, like, I remember shaving, but I don't ever remember looking at myself in the mirror while I did it. I mean, I'm sure I had to, but I don't ever remember being even capable of doing that. And I think if I'm pretending to be something I'm not, that's where I wind up. I'm looking in the mirror, and what I see there is something I don't even recognize. And I think that the fear is what takes me there. But the hope and the love that I get and that Lawrence talked about is what helps me overcome the fear. Because I hear you guys say that you love me. And I think you mean that in who I am, not who I pretend to be. You know, because if I look back, most of the time, if I look at who I pretend to be, or if I acted the way I thought I should act sometimes, I wouldn't like me. You know, because it's so superficial. You know, I don't need to, I mean, I just don't like I'm not about the superficial stuff anymore. You know, for me, it's very much about what's in here, not what's out here. You know, whether I have a new car and you have a new car. The new car makes you happy. More power to you. Buy two. But for me, a new car doesn't make me happy. You know what I mean? What makes me happy is seeing somebody who struggled to stay clean, you know, get a 1-year key tag. That's pretty amazing. I mean, there's a guy at my home group who probably hates me for it, but like he struggled for quite a while to get time clean, and every time he doesn't show up at the home group, I'm calling him like, where are you at? What are you doing? Why weren't you there? And because he got a year clean, and you know, his MO is kind of falling away, drifting away a little bit. And I, like, that's how I reciprocate, I think, by passing some of that on. And I think that, you know, when I talk about love, it needs to be about action, not just about words. So I need to call him when he's not at my home group. I mean, that's showing that I care about him. Not necessarily that I'm checking up on him, but that I care about him. You know, it's important for me to do that, and for me to do things like that, and not necessarily to expect, you know, overwhelming accolades of gratitude, I guess, either, but just to do it because it's a good thing and the right thing to do. It's a amazing process with recovery. I mean, I could never have imagined being where I'm at in my wildest nightmare using. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, standing in a group of people outside, you know, not using, when I was using, thinking about something like this happening was so just, I mean, I don't know, you know, I mean, when I was like, I don't know, 15 or 16 or something like that, I decided to do this thing. My parents were fairly active in a church, and I decided to go get involved with their youth group because they were going to West Virginia, and I thought, I can get some moonshine down there. That would be pretty cool. So this whole little retreat thing that they had going on, which was really cool, it was about like helping these older folks that either they didn't have any family left or they didn't have any money to like do little repairs around their house. I don't know, just fixing leaks in the roof and stuff like that, doing all this good stuff. I spent the week obsessed with finding someone to sell me moonshine. You know, that was a spiritual week. And then I was truly spiritual because thinking that this would be really easy, I didn't take anything with me, so I'm like not even using, trying to use, and totally miserable. Not able to sleep and all, you know, I mean, all that good stuff. I need to be selfless in my service, I guess. And I think in doing that, that helps free me from anger. If I don't have expectations, I really don't get angry over stuff. You know, if I give you, if I say, here's $5, don't worry about paying me back, but in the back of my head I'm saying, oh, you know what, he'll buy me lunch next week to pay me back, and then you don't buy me lunch, I'm going to get pissed off. And now I have a resentment. And then you did me wrong. And then I'm not talking to you anymore. And, you know, it can snowball pretty quick from something really stupid. And so if I give you $5 and I say I'm giving it to you, like, I need to mean that. Or I need to say, here's $5, pay me back next week. Or just buy me lunch next week. Otherwise, I do get caught up in, I set myself up for anger, fear, and resentment, or anger and resentment, at least. I don't know, I'm just, like, very grateful to be here today. I feel like I'm not quite centered, because I didn't get to go to my home group last week, which really helps. Even if I went to a meeting every other day, if I don't go to my home group, like, I'm just, like, off a little bit. Because I got to see my homies, as one of our home group members says. You know, because it just isn't quite right. And, you know, and I don't know if other people feel that in the home group or not, but I certainly do. So I'm feeling really good here, even though I came into this feeling a little bit out of sorts that way. Grateful to be here. It's been great coming up here and with one of my friends that we haven't been able to spend a lot of time together over the last year or so. Because we've both gotten married, and he has a kid. and it's good to know that the relationships that I've built in recovery are, you know, they don't, they really don't fade. I mean, when, you know, I look at it kind of like, you know, these really, you know, you go look at, like, George Washington's house, like, down by Washington, D.C. I mean, it's been there for hundreds of years. And, you know, it was obviously well-made or it wouldn't have lasted. I mean, look at how many houses there are that were built 20 years ago that are, like, falling apart. And it takes some maintenance to keep it up, but it was built on a good foundation. And relationships that I build in recovery, if I'm being myself and letting myself shine through, it's building it on a good foundation, and it's something that can last for hundreds of years. You know, it's not something that is going to just fall apart. So recovery is a beautiful thing. I mean, it's beyond my wildest dreams, like I said before. I mean, I could never imagine dreaming of where I'm at today. You know, when I had 5 years clean, I could have never imagined where I would have been when I had 10. And when I was at 10, I couldn't have imagined where I'd be today at 15. So it's like an amazing, amazing journey. I'm glad to be here. It's good to be clean. Thanks.
Right. I would like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Can we have the reading of just for today from